Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Here we are kicking off your work week, Monday, July the 20th, 2020. 7/20/2020. How about that? That's the date today, 7/20/2020. How about that? That is pretty good. 16 minutes past the hour, and boy, are we going to have a philosophical conversation this morning. We have no guests scheduled for the show this morning. Just a lot of stuff to talk about because there's so much going on in Ohio right now that I think people are not talking about. Here is what I think we are doing in the media right now that's a little bit of a mistake. I think we have these big stories going on, one of course being the pandemic, and I think we're talking so directly about the pandemic that we are constantly repeating ourselves all the time. And I think maybe we need to talk about the broader issues that are really going on here that could possibly happen this week. So that's one of the things I want to do this morning. Plus, I want to talk about some fun stuff because I also think that we're so weighted down with everything going on that we do have to have some fun, learn a bit, you know, educational purposes, but have fun, learn together, talk to each other on the toll-free line. And by the way, the phone line will be open, 740-383-9944. Now, the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about the chain shortage because last week, somebody asked me about what Mary Ellen Withrow knew about the chain shortage. And I did reach out to her on Friday, but we did not connect while I was on the air on Friday. But I did get an email from her. Now, this is what Mary Ellen says is causing the chain shortage. So, straight from Mary Ellen, here it is to you. The Mint has had people off because of the virus, and the people have not been spending as much. The banks order the coins. They say they will be filling orders as fast as possible. So that's what's going on. So I guess it's twofold in some cases. Number one is that the Mint has had people off because of the virus. And number two, because people are not spending as much money because of the virus, which we certainly can see in the reflection of the economy. Now, apparently the banks make the coin orders, so it really has nothing to do with the Mint or the Federal Reserve, because it's the banks who are ordering the coins that you see at the grocery stores, department stores, restaurants, so on and so forth. And I guess they're going to try to fill these orders as fast as possible because they are behind right now because of people not spending as much and people being off. So that is what is causing the chain shortage, according to the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. So there it is. Does anybody have anything to say in regard to that? An opinion, question, comment, anything you've heard? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And who knows how long it'll take to iron that out, to smooth that one out, to paper that over. We really don't know. But apparently that is what is causing the chain shortage. So if anybody asks you again, what we know is that there were people off at the Mint and people are spending less money and the banks are doing the ordering and currently they're trying to get these orders filled as quick as possible. So there's our little update with the chain shortage that I wanted to make sure that we did mention. Now, I want to come back to the original problem with this whole pandemic, and it's the masks. Because a lot of things are going to happen this week of some consequence. Number one, you're going to see all these stores. I believe Walmart is beginning today. I think Kroger begins later in the week. Meijer, the same thing. Kohl's and a whole bunch of other stores are going to start requiring people who are coming into the store to wear face masks. Now, we don't know how this is going to go. We're going to find out today. Now, I did hear last week that Walmart has hired a security firm, much like Menards did, to watch the doors to tell people you can't come in without a mask. I guess that's been going okay at Menards. If people don't want to come in, I guess they don't. And if people do want to come in, they do. I do think the difference between Menards and Walmart and Kroger and Meijer and all these other stores are that people who are going into Meijer and Walmart and Kroger are going in to buy food a lot of the times. If you don't get what you want at Menards, there could be a chance that you just don't need it. Maybe it was just a home project or something you were fixing at home. Food's a little different. People take food a little more personally, as well they should, and people take clothes and deodorant and all these other things you can buy at the stores just more personally. So I don't know how that's all going to shake out, because if people feel they can't come in and get their prescriptions filled, if people feel they can't come in and get their food, if people feel they can't come in and get the things that they feel they're entitled to without a mask, what are they going to do? Or are they just going to put on the mask? I will tell you this, I was out this weekend, I was out yesterday, and the majority of people are still not wearing masks, even knowing what's coming. And being in some of these stores, here we are right around the corner from this big mask mandate in these stores, and people are not wearing them. I would say that maybe 30 to 40% of people are actually wearing the masks. I don't think it's any higher than that. And I don't know if all these stores are hiring security firms. Now, I heard that Walmart is hiring a security firm, but I don't know if the other stores are, and I don't know what kind of mess that's going to cause. Because if the person, if you work at that store and you have to go to the door and tell people not to come in, there are going to be some angry people, and I think that's why places like Walmart and Menards have hired security firms and are not having employees do this. So I just think it could be a very sticky problem as the week goes on. Now, we watch the Sunday morning programs yesterday, and our governor, Mike DeWine, was on a lot of these Sunday morning programs, and he's saying, I won't rule out a statewide mask mandate. I think there are going to be a lot more counties that are added to the mask mandate because of the numbers going up, and he feels a lot more mandates are on the way this week. Now, what those mandates are, we have no idea. Now, I thought at this point, the only mandate we would probably get into would be the mask mandate. I didn't think we would really go any further than that at this point, but he did say mandates. I'm not exactly sure what he was talking about, and I'm sure none of us do, but I think we will find out as the week goes on if the numbers continue to rise. And I was also thinking this weekend about high school football, because a lot of people like to go and watch high school football. And as far as we know, the schools are still opening. Last I heard, the schools are still opening. Now, the big fall sport, of course, is football. Well, here's the thing right now with football that because football is a contact sport, a lot different than baseball. And also, this is not pro. This is high school. Now, what would happen, God forbid, if they were out there playing football and somebody tested positive for the COVID? Now, would the entire team have to be quarantined? Would the team they played have to be quarantined? I don't know how that would work. I think that could be a very serious situation. I mean, will all players be tested before the game? Will people have to sign waivers? It's going to be an interesting time, and it's going to be fascinating. I was hearing somebody talk yesterday who works over in the Mansfield Reformatory, about how they have a mask mandate now because they're in Richland County, and if you go into the Mansfield Reformatory, you have to wear a mask. But I guess if you sign a medical waiver when you come in, you don't have to wear a mask. Now, they don't advertise this, but if you do sign a medical waiver, you don't have to wear the mask. Now, is there any consequence for lying on a medical waiver to say that you can't wear it because of medical reasons? And is that really going to help? Because if people start signing medical waivers and going in places, if they do have it, they're going to spread it because it is a viral infection. So we're locked into a whole mess here. So I guess some of the questions I have on the table this morning is, how do you feel about what's going on with the mask mandates that are going to go in place this week with stores? How do you feel about possibly the governor putting a mask mandate in place for the state, which he has not said he's going to do yet, but who knows what the future will bring? Why is it so hard to wear a mask? I'm not saying that, and I don't wear them all the time, so I'm as guilty as anybody else, but I don't understand why there is such an anger and anxiety when it comes to wearing these masks. That's what baffles me to a great deal. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I saw your protesters Saturday.
You know what? Yes, they came out on Saturday. Now, how many of them were out there?
If I had to guess, I'd say a dozen or less.
Yeah, they were down at City Hall, weren't they?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah.
I was going by there about 1 o'clock maybe in the afternoon.
Now, these were the protesters. It seemed to me that they all seemed to be against Judge Warner, wasn't it?
I mean, I didn't, like, stop or anything, but I sort of, like, looked at the, I took a glance at their signs, and that's what it seemed to be directed at.
Well, you know what was interesting when I finally found this out? What I could not figure out was why they were at City Hall and not the courthouse, and why they were doing it on a Saturday when nobody would be there.
Who knows? Or even why are they doing it at all? I mean, do they really think anybody's going to pay attention, or that anybody even cares? I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, like, how many people? What's the outcome?
Well, you're right. I mean, with
no one's really gonna care.
Well, you know, in that smaller group, you know, a dozen people. Is this internally being put together? Because obviously, the protests that were going on for racial injustice were drawing fairly big crowds a couple weekends in a row.
Yeah.
But apparently this one did not.
10 people that looked like they were ready to go have a popsicle and sit down in the shade compared to hundreds of thousands of people, like, doing everything they did. Yeah, there's a big difference there.
Well, and I'm still not sure. You know, we have not had the trial of Judge Warner. We have not got the investigation back. So I'm not really sure yet why this is a thing. I'm not sure why we are protesting him. I understand we don't like what he did, but we still really don't know a whole lot of the facts behind that.
I was going to say, you're definitely one that likes to deal in facts, aren't you, Scott?
Well, I do, because I think sometimes we deal in conjecture, and people start to believe the conjecture. They no longer care about the facts. They believe what other people think happened.
And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing.
It is, and that's what we're all dealing in nowadays, and what we think happened and what really happened can be two completely different things.
Sometimes it does seem that way. Instead, it's like guilty until proven innocent. It seems backwards.
Well, and that's not the way it was supposed to be. And I'm not sure why we have gotten to that. I think society is more mean than it used to be. I think we really used to try to help people out. I think we really used to try to believe the best in people. Now I think we're a little more just out to get the person, don't really know the facts.
And there's such a cancel culture. Like, you don't get a second chance. You mess up, you're out of there.
Well, right, and even if you did do something horrible, what happened to forgiveness? Isn't that what we've always been taught, that second chances are good chances, that we forgive, that things like this can happen? What happened to that?
Yeah, it's what the Bible tells us we're supposed to do.
Well, I would think we should forgive. I don't know why we should if we expect people to continue to go on to live a normal life, obviously they aren't going to die. If we expect them to go on and live a normal life, how can we let them if we never let them off the hook for everything they ever did? Can you imagine if we were held on the hook for everything we ever did? I don't know any perfect people.
The only thing I got to say to that, though, is nobody's above the law.
No, nobody is above the law, but I have yet to figure out, though, because the judge has not been charged with anything. And it's at the Attorney General. It's no longer on the local level. And I'm sure the Attorney General would have no problem.
Listen, Scott, I'll be tuning in, but I've got to run.
I understand. Well, hey, thank you for telling me about the protesters.
Have a good show.
Thank you. I would think that the Attorney General has the Judge Warner case now, and Judge Warner, I believe, now has legal representation, so I read in the newspapers. But if he did something wrong, if they find something in the investigation, I'm sure the Attorney General will have no problem charging him, or at least bringing charges, and seeing where those go. Now, again, everybody has the right to a trial. So we need to hold ourselves back here for a second from making these assumptions. You know how many people have approached me since this whole story started and told me, I heard that this happened, I heard that that happened, I heard that this happened. Well, I heard is not fact. The only facts we know are what was in the police report. And all we know from the police report was, to my knowledge, that there was a 9-hour lapse between the time the crash happened and the time that the crash was called in. Anything else, we don't know at this point. We don't know why that went down that way. We don't know what happened. There could be circumstances. I don't know. I think maybe we'll all figure out as we go along, but we've got to stop jumping to conclusions unless we know for sure. You know, I hate to say this because I used to be such a defender of certain media, but even in a local town, I will say this: the newspaper, some television stations, some internet sites, some radio stations, they don't always report the truth. Now, what they do is they will say enough truth to not get sued. And then they kind of implicate other things. Now, they never say them, but they imply them. And that's not their job. News should be just the facts, man. That's it. Just the facts. And some of these groups are no longer abiding by that. I don't know if that's to sell newspapers. I don't know if that's to get advertisers to your radio station. I don't know if that's to get more hits on your website. But, you know, to do that at somebody else's expense doesn't say much about you. If you're running a story to hurt somebody else, I just really don't have a whole lot of respect for that. And by the way, I don't know. I can't remember why this came up this past weekend, but news has got this idea that you have to be first. Well, first of all, this is not a very bright idea because this has nothing to do with broadcast media. This goes way back to the newspaper days when there was only newspapers, because you had to pay to get a newspaper. Circulation was very important. So the idea about getting a story first was, well, if my newspaper has it and the other newspaper in town doesn't have it, more people are going to buy my newspaper. That's what getting the story first was all about. In broadcast, that's very unimportant about who has the story first. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're listening to me right now, and you're not listening to another radio station, chances are if the other radio station says a news story that I'm not saying, you're not going to know it anyway because you're listening to me. So it doesn't matter if they were first. And radio is free. And by the time you would learn that they had the story first, because of the way the internet is now, I would have already heard about it and reported it. So it's just not the way it should be. And people are adhering to that, I don't know, to say, oh, we had it first. Okay. Well, a lot of the times the problem with having it first is that you don't do the background research and you put some facts in there that aren't facts. Facts become opinion, or facts become false, because you tried so fast to get it out there. And that is wrong. I mean, do you realize how consistently a station would have to be first and how long ahead first they would have to be all the time for that to mean anything? It would have to be so consistent and so out in front that everybody else was just constantly blown away. And nobody has the power to do that in this age because of the internet. Because as soon as you put it on the internet, I know about it. So it's just impossible. And it's funny because, you know, broadcast media has been fighting over this for so long. Well, a newspaper can't get their story out until the next day's news. If they've already hit their print deadline, whether or not they have the news story or not is really irrelevant. They can't get it out till the next day anyway. Does that mean that newspaper is no longer valid for reporting news stories? No, I don't think it means that at all. So the whole idea of being first has really got to be looked at. And we've also got to get back in the news business to being just about the facts, man. Just the facts. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have anything to say about what I'm talking about here or any of the other news stories of the day? 36 and a half minutes past the hour here in hour number one. I don't know what's going to happen with these face masks. I guess we're all just going to watch it this week. We're going to watch and see what the governor says. We're going to watch and see what happens with these stores. I wonder which is going to happen first. That's the real waiting game right now. The real waiting game we're in is the governor going to come out before the stores have to do that? Well, I guess not, because Walmart, I think, is starting today. Is the governor going to come out before the majority of these other stores and say everybody needs to wear a face mask, which would ease up the stores, you know, the tension that I think people are going to have through some of these stores or at some of these stores? I guess we'll figure that out as time goes on. Now, without talking more directly about the COVID thing, here's one thing I think this pandemic has done. Here's one thing I think these protests have done. We're a protest society all of a sudden. I don't know what's bringing that on. But people are in financial trouble. You know, I was looking at the cover of the USA Today this morning and seeing the financial trouble that businesses are in, the financial trouble that people are in. It's rough. It's rough, and it's getting more difficult all the time, and this pandemic has no end in sight. So I want to talk more philosophically, and maybe it's even more about the pandemic not so much more about the pandemic and maybe more about just your own life. You know, there is always hope in life. That's what you have to know. Even in your darkest moment, there's always hope. And if you don't have hope, you don't have anything. So you cannot be down all the time. I understand it's hard to be up when you feel things are crashing down around you, and you're losing money, and you can't feed yourself, and you can't get gasoline for the car, and you can't do the things you need to do. Here's what needs to happen. People have just got to, and I understand it's hard, but they've got to put it in a ball, and they've just got to set it to the side. Because you can't do anything about the bad stuff if you have no solutions. Worrying about it is not going to change it one little bit. Worrying about it, stressing about it, is not going to change it. So, what you have to do more is get hope. Not stress, hope. Stressing does not change what is going to happen. Hope does change what will happen. Okay, well, what do I mean about hope? Okay, here's what I'm talking about with hope. There is nobody that I know of who is an island of to themselves. Somebody either has some kind of family, some kind of friends, some kind of co-workers, some kind of acquaintances. They've got people. Nobody is an island of to themselves, onto themselves. Okay, why not have hope rather than stress? Stress just makes you sick and does not change the problem. Hope can. And at some point, you do have to look at all those people in your life and figure out, why am I not happy? Why has life deteriorated to this way? And I think sometimes, I know I've had to do this in life, I think sometimes you have to take a cold, hard look. You know, I'll tell you an example of when this has happened to me. There have been times where I have had, you know, just been... I don't get stressed a whole lot, to be honest with you, so that's not a thing that I do, and I really don't worry a whole lot, but there have been situations where I have looked at the situation, and I have said, something is wrong here. There's something wrong with this situation. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong. So I look at the people involved in that situation, and I say, okay, which people are helping this? Which people are hurting this? Which people have the ability to help? Which people do not have the ability to help? And you look at that and you say, okay, I've really at this point got to align myself more with the people who help. Not that the people who are not helping are bad people, but I would rather not be stressed and miserable all the time. Now, if you want to continue down that road, as we've said so many times, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different outcome. If you continue to do that, that's what will happen. So my point is, in this COVID thing, in this mess going on right now, and I'm getting a message here this morning about I've had hope and stress at the same time. Yeah, and that can happen too. You can have hope and stress at the same time. Nobody's saying that you're going to completely eliminate stress, because I believe to some degree stress is an involuntary action. But you can have hope in there too. You can figure out the people in life who give you hope. You know, even if you don't think people are going to come through, which I guess is what hope is, what's wrong with having the hope? I mean, in the end, if they don't come through, did you lose anything? Are you any better off or worse off than you were before? Probably not. But there always is the chance you could be better off. And that's hope. That's the point. So this is what it's all about. I'm not judging anybody, and this, sometimes this comes off as a judge, and I'm really not trying to be judgmental at all, but if you keep people in your life, you know, they use it, they have a term now, they didn't used to have this term, you know, toxic is the term they use now. If you keep toxic people in your life will be toxic. It's a contamination. I think that's where that term came from. But, and there's messages galore coming here. I don't want to ignore the messages. Let's see here. I've had hope and stress at the same time. I see that. I always have hope, faith, and belief. Yes, and that's exactly what I'm talking about here. Obviously, that's why, well, yeah, clearly. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Scott, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I, you know, it's funny you talk about the face mask with the governor. He's going to give us another tongue lashing about it. Well, the thing is, I was down at Delaware, Ohio, and they got a mandatory mask down there. Well, so much for that. Nobody's wearing it down there, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I think that's going to be the thing.
Yeah, I don't think the people is going to stand for that. be a mask, because they're definitely not doing it down there, which I was shocked, because I went down there, I had my face mask, because I'm going to abide with anything that, you know, has to be done, but still, they're, you know, not very many people are going to, you know, adhere to his rules, and I don't know what kind of nightmare this is going to turn out to be. I can actually see him shutting down the state again.
Well, you know, I don't know what mandates he was talking about yesterday, because he had already talked about the masks, because he said, I'm not ruling out masks for the whole state. He said, I fully expect to be adding more counties to this week. And then he said, there are going to be some mandates put in place this week. Now, I don't know what that is. Other than the masks, which he had already talked about, I don't know what mandates he could put in. And I just can't imagine that he would shut down the state again. Because he just went, I mean, today the nursing homes open. The nursing homes and assisted living centers open up today. I'm scared to death about this. And so I don't know that he will shut things down again. I think he's scared to death of it by his press conference last week. But I just really don't know. I'm not sure what these mandates are.
From what I take, you know, you're getting mixed signals about this. You know, increased testing in it. You know, the young people are coming down with it. That's, I believe, the media is sensationalizing this whole thing, causing panic. That's what I believe now.
Well, you know, I will say that the media certainly does play a part. If you've been listening, I've given my thoughts on the media this morning. But it doesn't help when the governor goes on a national show on a Sunday morning and says what he did yesterday, but doesn't say what he's talking about.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, he should have done that with one of these press conferences for everybody to sit down and listen. And, you know, you got to make people understand what you're saying. You just can't go off key and babble about this and babble about that.
Well, and this is why I'm talking about hope this morning, because I think people are starting to lose hope because they don't know what's going on day to day.
Yeah, this is true. You mean the nursing homes are now open? Going to be open today.
It's my understanding July the 20th was the day they set to open up the nursing homes and the assisted living. Now, it's my understanding you have to meet outside with the people, so I don't know what we're going to see today, but oh my goodness, if somebody would get infected. You know, Tracy Kinsler is going to be on tomorrow morning, and I want to ask her how the first day of this went and what she thinks. What are these mandates? I'm sure she doesn't know. You know, she's not talking to the governor, but what could these mandates be, possibly?
It'd be awfully interesting to just get a thought of, you know, maybe, you know, get some kind of heads up on what's going on. I'm not completely sold on them opening up the nursing homes this soon like that. I mean, it's outdoors. I get that, but still, and there's an enormous chance out there something going very badly wrong.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely true.
All right, Scott, I'm going to get off the line there. You know, you're a very smart man, and you bring up some very good topics.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know how smart, but I'm glad we're entertaining every morning.
All right.
Thank you.
Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It depends on who you talk to about being a smart person. Sometimes, sometimes not. But, you know, back to our original topic here of, and by the way, weigh in on any topic at any time, 740-383-9944. You got to have hope. This is important. You've got to push this subject more than others. And you've got to get these toxic people out of your life. Now, again, toxic people aren't necessarily evil people. I think sometimes we make that comparison. We say, well, an evil person is a toxic person. I don't think that's right. I think some of the most toxic people are perfectly fine people. they're not trying to be evil, but they wear you down because of the way they live their life. Now, you can't tell somebody how to live their life. This is something we all learn in life at one point or another. The only person we really ever control 100% is ourself. The only person we make decisions for every day of our life is ourself. We don't even do it with our kids. We can tell our kids to do something, but they can do what they want. If our kids made every choice that we made, they would never be hurt. So the only person you are always in charge of is yourself. Now, this is where the toxic aspect of people comes in, because you can't control what other people do. Now, if they are doing things that are upsetting to you, if they are doing things that are making your life more difficult, it creates a toxic atmosphere. I think you think it doesn't, but it does. And I don't know how we get out of that. I don't know if that's a pattern. I don't know. Maybe it's just a destiny. Maybe it's a pattern that some people are just destined to follow. And that's not wrong. And I don't criticize anybody for that, because sometimes you can't get out of that pattern. Sometimes it's like a washing machine. You know, that washing machine is going to keep spinning every day, and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's sad in a way, because I think ultimately it takes down your life from what it could be, but everybody has their reasons for doing what they do. Now, here's a topic I love: surprises. Okay, some people like surprises and some people don't. Now, I've said there are surprises that we can do very easily, that can change the whole day. This is another thing, by the way, with hope. Do you realize that with hope, everything can change in 5 minutes? I know people don't think that's true, but you can be bogged down with the worst problems in the world, and in 5 minutes, your life could change. 5 minutes. Now, the reason this doesn't happen a whole lot is because nobody changes their patterns. I think they do, but cause and effect. This is something we've been learning since we've been children. So a cause will drive an effect. And I'm not saying anybody should do anything they don't want to do. Don't do that. Heaven forbid, don't do that. But there are certain causes that drive certain effects. So, based upon that, here's what I'm talking about with surprises. Surprises can drive certain effects. You know, there are things that people do, and I've mentioned them before on this show. Write somebody a note, a detailed note. Make yourself vulnerable. Tell them things that you would never tell them before. Okay? That's making yourself vulnerable. That could be a game changer. Send somebody a picture. We're a picture culture. I see pictures on Facebook every day. I would highly doubt there is somebody in society who hasn't either taken a selfie or had somebody snap a picture of them doing something. Everybody does it, because everybody's got a camera on their phone now. Take a picture. Take a funny picture nobody expects. That can change the room. Call somebody on the telephone. Now, with me, I can't. I have a phobia. But that's just the way it goes. Let me go to some of the comments I'm getting here on Facebook. Okay, I'm learning that some people had a talk, and nobody will change. Well, see, here we go. Toxic people. And people have to make their own choices. By the way, I cannot make somebody's choices. And that's not what I'm doing here. I'm just saying, I hope you make the right choices. I really do. Everybody listening, I hope you make the right choices. And I don't think people are this thick in the head. See, thick in the head is a nice way to say stubborn
and possibly not making the best choices. So we just say thick in the head. And I understand there's a lot to lose sometimes. I get it. We don't want to lose people. That's why we keep them in our life. But sometimes they're making our life miserable. So just pay attention to that. Okay. This person says, I love surprises. I love surprises too, but I don't get them very often. I think you should be willing to do anything for your family. You should always be willing to try, and if it doesn't work, oh well. Well, you know, this is true. I think your family is very important, but I also think there are friends that can become like family. You can bond with somebody who... You know, what is a family, I guess, is the big question here. You know, what exactly is a family? If you fall in love with somebody, is that your family? I mean, I guess you feel the same way about them as you do your family. Of course, your kids are your family. I would not ever deny that. You've got to take care of your kids. Your parents, sometimes you don't have the greatest relationship with your parents, but they're your family. So, yeah, I think you just have to define what your family is. And does a ring on a finger denote a family? I don't know. But surprise somebody. Take a picture they don't expect. Send a letter they don't expect. Call them on the phone and say something they don't expect. It will come back to be of benefit for you. People think of karma as being sort of a... kind of a mystical thing. All karma really is putting good energy out in the world and getting it back. And a lot of times putting good energy out means doing good things. All right, we got a weird picture coming up here. I have no idea what this is. It's a picture of a cake half gone. Now, what is this? I think it has pecans on the top of it. Okay, this is a picture of a birthday cake that I made for a birthday, and the puppy, the puppy ate half the cake. Oh, man. Puppy went to town on the pecans. Oh, man. You know, the cake does look good. I love a good carrot cake. I think I said this over the 4th of July. Carrot cake, to me, is just delicious. Now, I don't know if I'd want it as a birthday cake, but carrot cake is good. All right. So what we're saying here, some of the conversations that go on are kind of strange, but surprise somebody, do something good, put good energy in the world, and you will get it back. I promise you will get good things back. And always have hope. Never let go of it. Even in your most stressful moments, never let go of it. And remember, stress doesn't fix anything. Hope does. And, you know, I posted something on Facebook last night. I put, every day can be a dream or a nightmare based upon your own choices. And that's really true. Just remember that. Every day can be a dream or a nightmare based upon your own choices. And I hope more than not we go for the dream, but sometimes it does end up as a nightmare. And we've also got to learn, most importantly, we can't fix everybody's problems. You can try, but don't do it to the degree where it hurts you. Everybody wants to help. I want to help. I am a very... Because I don't have kids, and I don't have a wife, and I don't have those things. I really do want to help people. But I think that sometimes people have so much going on in their life, and yet they're still trying to fix the world. And they can't fix the world. It just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. We all want to fix the world, but we all can't. Now, we're going to talk more about this and take more phone calls on the other side. And maybe if I'm lucky, something will show up here in the studio. You never know. See, that's hope. I'm not saying it'll happen, and I'm not going to stress over it, but we all do have hope, and that's what you got to have. You're tuned into WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't forget, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp right after this show today at 10:10 a.m., Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 4:10, and the Mike Wilson Show at 5:10, and I'll be back in about 10 minutes.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blake.
And for the first time, very happy to see